I think also, I know the what bulletin is being passed around, the pastor's letter, is that right, Beatrice? Is it going out? Right now, the pastor's letter is going out, and I just want to mention it, that, you know, I just you take these things and not just read them, but why don't you pray about them, right? And then, you know, on there, there's the promise of the month, and I would begin to pray and proclaim and claim the promise of the month. And then there's the book review quote, and you know we're reading the book for the year, The Secrets of Spiritual Power by Watchman Nee. Have you got the book? You ought to get the book if you don't have the book. Let me say that it will bless you. It will bless you. And read it. You know, I have certain books, and I've read them a million times, you know. I just read them a million times. You know, I read, and I then also go from one book to the other book and read a little bit here, read a little bit there. So, you know, this is a wonderful, wonderful read, and you act upon the things that you read, okay? So anyway, I want to lift that up right now. I just wanted to kind of say something about that, about the pastor's letter, that as to why I put that out there. I put that out there so that you know, you take those things and pray about them, okay? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Okay, praise God. I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. I am going to make some faith declarations here at the end of this message right here about believing God. And about the healing hand of the Lord. The healing hand of the Lord. And so blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you just give me a minute as I thumb through something that I'm looking for? I appreciate that. Okay. Amen. Praise your holy name, O Lord Jesus. All right. I want to make just an announcement here as we begin. The title of my message this morning is Spiritual Finances and the Economy of God, Part 2. And you remember, we introduced a fundraising that we're undertaking and that we're doing, and that is to replace our sound system. We need a new sound system. So we're making and putting forth that endeavor. Our goal is $20,000. That's our goal, is $20,000, give or take a little here or there when it comes down to having the work actually done. But that we'll have some things out on the bulletin board out here that are coming, right, that will tell you where we're at as we go. All right, and we're going to have a little bit of celebrations as we reach certain markers, okay? Our first celebration will come when we have gained $5,000, all right? And then we'll have only 15 to go. I'm giving you an update. It's only been 1 month, right? And, you know, praise God, so far we have raised $3,390. So, you know, praise the name of the Lord, huh? That's what we have raised so far, is $3,390. When we reach the 5,000 mark at that time, we're just going to give God praise, right? We're going to give God praise, and we're going to give Him thanksgiving for doing just that. All right, so praise the name of the Lord. But as I had this on my heart and introduced that, you know, then the last message I had about spiritual finances in the economy of God. And and then I felt in my heart that I needed to do this, at least for a while, as I feel led on this subject about spiritual finances. You know, we don't hear a lot about it. And I'll be honest with you that many times when we do hear about it, we hear a perversion of it. You know, and just like the word prosperity has been hijacked. Okay, it has been hijacked. It is a very important subject. It's a work of the evil one to rob us from the prosperity of God, because the Lord certainly wants to prosper us. And I want you to know that. He wants to prosper you. Prosperity is more than a dollar bill, okay? You know, you can have all the dollar bills in the world and have a poverty spirit. Have a poverty spirit. So, you know, we're going to redefine, and that's what I'm seeking to do. I'm seeking to redefine from a biblical standpoint about what really truly is the promise of prosperity to the people of God, and then also the truth in the word of the Lord about finances. It's very important that we have that understanding in the word of the Lord, and that we be obedient, in all things and in all ways, and so that we may not hinder the blessings and the promises of Almighty God. And so that's what we're looking at. And I also want to bring out to you, I've not said much about it, but remember the 2025 vision that I set forth in January that I felt so much by the Lord was prosperity and advancement in the kingdom of God. I don't know if you remember that. And I haven't said a lot about it, but I'm bringing it up right now, you know, as to what God is doing, what God is wanting to do. And again, I'm lifting that before you, that the vision, the 2025 vision, our 24 vision was come up higher. Remember that? Come up higher. You know, and now, prosperity and advancement in the kingdom of God. You may not recognize it, but boy, we've been hitting it hard about advancement in the kingdom of God. We've been hitting it real hard, right? And making forward, going forward, taking back ground. And that's the kind of church that God wants us to be, is a church that rises up and takes back ground from the evil one, because he's an illegal trespasser. He's an illegal trespasser, where it's in your life, or whether it's in our community, or whether it's in the world or in the earth, you know, that the victory belongs to Jesus, and we are the vessels and the instruments of Almighty God, you know, because we're a part of this world. You know, that's why you've been left in this physical body. In this physical body, you have authority in this physical world. Are you hearing me there? You know, because you're in this physical body, you have authority in this physical world. And so what the will of God is to fill you up with the Holy Spirit of God, and you being one who has true authority in Almighty God, being that vessel and putting the evil one in the place that Jesus has brought him to through the cross. That's our purpose. That is the will of God. We're not helpless. We're not defenseless. We're not a woe is me, I just don't know what to do no more about it. People, we must rise up and we must take possession as God has called us to do. And that's what we're going to do here in our church. And it won't be by our power or might, because we begin to ask God to do things that only God can do. That's what you did just a minute ago. When you asked the Holy Spirit to be your strength, you are asking for the power of God for you to be made strong and for you to have the strength of God that is promised through the Holy Spirit that you in yourself don't have. Right? And that's the will of God. And that's the will of God. The more that you come to your weakness and you rely upon His strength, then the more victory that you will find. God's not looking for you to be strong. He's not looking for us to do the work. That doesn't mean that we sit on our laurels and don't do anything. We're not talking about that. But the power comes from God. The power comes from the power to live an obedient life comes from God. The power to be able to live in holiness and righteousness and truth comes from the power of God. It doesn't come from your flesh. It doesn't come because you're working. I'm trying hard. You know, and this evil doctrine that as long as you're trying, failure's okay. Right? Well, the Lord knows my heart. You better believe He does. You better believe He does. It's only you that doesn't know your heart when you stand on things like that. Well, you know, as long as, and that doctrine's out there. Well, as long as, God knows I would if I could. You know, I would if I could. And there's just no sound doctrine in any of that philosophy. You know, that is evil doctrine that sets the saints up for failure and defeat, for they do not live in a victorious life because they have no expectation of victory whatsoever, and they think as long as they wanted to that it's acceptable before God. But it is not. I tell you, these evil doctrines will destroy your life. Evil doctrine will destroy your life just as much as living out there in the world. You must be aware. And open your eyes up to Scripture, and you will see where the Apostle Paul dealt with false doctrine in the church continually. Continually. He addressed doctrinal issues continually among the saints of Almighty God. Because if the world out there won't destroy you, then the evil doctrine in the church will. We need to be aware. And that's why that you and I as a believer need to be in this word right here, right? You know, everything that I say or anybody says, let it be proven by the word of God. Are you hearing me there? Right? Let it be proven by the word of God. So that's very important. You know, so we're going to be that kind of church. We are that kind of church, and we're going to move into that church more and more. And one of the issues in all of that, if you can believe it or not, is the issue of giving. It truly is. And that's what I felt the Spirit of the Lord put on my heart. And, a subtitle would be a giver, the root, and the foundation of Christianity. Be a giver, the root, and the foundation of Christianity. Well, let me give you some scriptures before we look here. We're going to look at the subject here in chapter 21. We refer to it as so much as the widow's mite. A very interesting story. But here's some scriptures that I know you're aware of, but let me just focus on them a moment. Here's John 3, just listen, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You know, so we see right there that the very character and the very nature of Almighty God is giving. God so loved the world that he gave. Everybody say he gave. He gave. And so when you and I have the love of God coming into our hearts, something begins to transform and begins to change. And one of the things that begins to happen to us is that we have something working on us. Number one is that we delight to serve. We delight to serve. Now, the old devil will rob you of that as much as he possibly can. You do know that the devil wants to rob you, don't you? All right, don't you know that? Let me give you a little background with that alone. Here, just listen to this. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Listen to this. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And he wants to devour you, and he wants to devour me. But I want to tell you, he wants to devour you so he can rob you of the blessings and the promises of Almighty God. If he cannot rob you of your salvation, if he cannot rob you of your life and completely destroy you and kill you, which he is a murderer according to Scripture, and if he gets a chance to kill you, he'll do it. I'm not trying to make you afraid. You don't have to be afraid, but you certainly need to be aware. You know, don't play with sin. All right? Don't play with sin. Lay it down. Lay it down. Do whatever you got to do. Do whatever you got to do to get sin, secret sin and the like. Get it out of your life. Get it out of your life. Because a snare is being set for you, and you need to know it. So we're aware of these things. And one of the ways that the evil one wants to afflict us is in our thinking, in our mentality, in our attitude. So when you get saved, something happens to you. You know, I love people. I never loved people like this before. You know, I love people. What is wrong with me? You know, and then the next thing is that, you know, their good, their well-being begins to fill my heart. Used to, it was my good and my well-being. right? And I'll tell you, the devil will take you right back there again, if you let him, to where you started, and you'll lose that charitable spirit. You'll lose it. You'll lose that love for other people. You'll lose the spirit of giving. You'll lose the heart of being a giver. You know, and you'll go back. You'll go back to being the person that you used to be, that you got delivered from, that you got free from when you first got saved. And the silliness of theology is that, well, now you know that, you know, when you first get saved, you're in a, it's like a honeymoon. Have you ever seen that junk in writing before? Huh? You know, have you ever seen that kind of junk being written? Even when I really didn't know the truth, that used to confuse me so much. You know, is that now you know that, you know, when you first get saved, you know, it's like a honeymoon. You know, baby, the honeymoon's coming to an end. Are you kidding me? What an indictment against God, right? What an absolute indictment against God, right? You know, well, I, you know, get you going, and then I'm going to, and here's what they say. Oh, okay, now the honeymoon is going to end, and now you're going to have to walk by faith. They don't even know what faith is. Because to them, faith is having no feelings, you know, having no experience, you know. It's this state of numbness. Right? That we all try to walk in to where we got faith. My goodness, are you kidding me? There's no truth in any of that. So I have sit here in just a few minutes and I have hit upon more false doctrines that are flowing in the church than you can shake a stick at. Okay? And I haven't even hardly started. Right? I haven't even hardly started. But you understand these things? And it's to set you up. That's what it's to do. It's you. It's to set you up. Oh, so if I'm really in faith, you know, you got to watch getting touched by the Holy Spirit. You understand if you get touched by the Holy Spirit, that's just emotionalism. Oh, really? That's what they should have said to Jesus, you know. You know, when they come back with the great report, the 70, and he said, and the word of the Lord says, and he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. Look it up yourself. Okay. I think Jesus got a little beside himself, don't you think? I think Jesus danced in the Spirit more than we'd ever dream. You know, Jesus didn't walk around. Bless you. Be free. Every emotion that you have in the Lord came from God. Amen. Every emotion that you have. Now, sometimes they get out of kelter, okay, right? You know, but not with Him, all right? You know, they don't get out of kelter with Him in any way. And you'll see rejoicing, and you'll see joy, right? And all these things. You'll see excitement and the like of being touched by the Holy Spirit. And then comes with it the empowerment of faith. The more you experience God, the stronger your faith's going to get, okay? The more you experience God, the stronger your faith's going to get. Don't you dare receive or in any way that if you get emotional, okay, that, you know, that's emotionalism and it doesn't have anything to do with your faith. You know, there's a touch that God brings to strengthen our hearts. You know, the joy of the Lord is yours. Why don't you take it up? Right? Why don't you take it up? Maybe you would smile more instead of frown so much. Huh? Maybe you would smile more and not frown so much. Right? And you know what? I got news for you. When it's the joy of the Lord, okay, you're not dictated by every little problem that comes up in life. You know that? You know, some people can't have happiness unless they feel like they're in control of everything. Well, good luck. You plan on being unhappy most of the time, right? You want upset, always upset. There's some people who wouldn't know how to act if they weren't upset. It's become so much a part of their personality that being upset is more natural for them than not being upset. That's pitiful. It's not God. Oh, so the evil one wants to rob you of your blessings, and he wants to rob you of the promises of God. He wants you to come back into that old man that you've been loosed to. You're not chained in him. You're no longer a slave in the old Adam nature. Now you, by the Spirit, have to put him down and put him in his place. And you learn by following the Holy Spirit how to walk in the Spirit. And then you put down the old man. But first comes the knowledge and the understanding. Hey, you can't dictate to me anymore. I have victory over you. Right? That old Adam nature, the flesh, the way of the flesh, the nature of the flesh. But the evil one will try to deceive you and bring you right back into the character and nature of the old man, especially where we maybe prone towards certain weaknesses in him, right? You know, we're prone, whatever reason, prone for weaknesses in him. And that's where the enemy is going to seek to afflict you as much as he can. And he'll bring you back in. Can you imagine? He will bring the one that is free back into captivity. Yeah, I think one of the strongest areas that the evil one afflicts and brings and robs so many blessings, and there are many, but one of them is in the area of your own personal finances. Your own personal finances. You know, and I feel all the freedom in the world to talk about this subject because it's a biblical subject. Okay? If I find it in the Bible, then I feel like I can preach on it. Okay? All right, there, right? You know? So, you know, and it's one of the hardest areas for believers to become obedient because many believers still want to live by the old way of the world, okay, than they do according to the kingdom of God and the financial promises and blessings and prosperity that God brings your way, all because of the favor of the Lord in who you are, because you walk in his ways. And he will do that. And you'll never come into the end of the prosperity of the Lord. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many years you've been born again. I don't care how long you've been in your job or whatever it is. I'm telling you right now that God wants to bless you and me. And he wants to prosper us more and more. And he wants to bring goodness into our lives in ways that we have never conceived or dreamed. Because that's who he is. The evil one wants you to settle. Okay? Just to settle. All right? Now here's another one, and I love this promise right here. Just listen. This is in Luke 6:38, and I've read it to you many times. The first word says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, okay, shaken together, running over. Now listen to this. They will pour into your lap. Now here's a condition. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Whoa. If you give little, you get little. Now, just so that you understand it, you know, that's not my words. That's the word of Scripture. Listen. I'm going to add this. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. That's the word of the Lord. Here's verse 7. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. Here, listen to this. For God loves a cheerful giver. Right? Give cheerfully. Give in faith. Don't give to get, but have expectation upon the promises of God. God has made many promises to bless those who give. He gives warning to those who don't. Don't expect much. You know, for some people, do you understand that that might be the cog that's in the wheel that's holding up your blessings is the area of giving? You know, you may not be in this sin. You may not be in that sin. You may not have that sin over here. But you've never let go of your finances. And, you know, we were singing about it. He's our everything. We were singing about it, right? He's my everything. And everything is His, right? Well, that includes my finances. If it's my life, then it's also my finances. Am I right about that? I think I am. And I'm just repeating what God's Word said. So, you know, we want to be obedient. Trust the Lord. Go the Lord's way, not the world's way, right? And that's where people get intimidated. They get intimidated. They're not convinced of the Word, and they're not standing on the Word, and not standing on the promises, and then they try to go the way of the world. Now, let me give you another example here. Talking about the old evil one here. Here, just listen. This is now from Ephesians 6:16. Taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. You are under attack. He wants, number one, to destroy you if he can. And number two is to deceive you. If you must be aware that he wants to deceive you. All right? Here's another one. Okay. Ephesians 2:2 says, talking about the way of the world and the evil one, it says, to the course of this world according to the prince of the power of the air. So who's in charge of the way of the world? The evil one. The evil one. So you understand? Okay, so what we do is we, many times, our finances, we do our finances by the way of the world, right? Oh, you know, I look for my security in money, okay, in bank account. The lust of deceit, you will see this in Scripture, the warning in Hebrews, the lust of deceit. And listen to that, the lust of deceit. That means that you become deceived in your thinking, and then you begin to lust. Lust is more than sexual, all right? And you begin to lust. You know, like, for example, you would think that everybody but you and me is living their best life in this world. By the TV, by Google, and the like. Everybody, right? You know, everybody's living their best life but you and me. We're being left out. Everybody's got a new car but you, right? All right? And, you know, everybody's taking 2 vacations a year but you. Everybody has got their dream home but you, right? Okay? And you do know that the credit card companies are not your friend? Do you know that they want to rob and steal your buying power? And they don't give a flip as to what kind of debt you get in. Do you understand this? And who is behind this? The evil one? To destroy you financially as much as he possibly can? Do you know that he wants to destroy you financially? Okay, it's good to be aware of that you got a spiritual war in that area as much as you do in other areas of your life. You understand that? Right? And so, you know, you begin to think, oh, well, this would make me happy. That will make me, the lust of deceit, you know, and that will make me happy. You know, everybody's living their best life but me, you know. So I need to go out and buy a new car. I hope you can go out and buy a new car. I like a new car, right? Okay, I love a new car. But I'm also aware of the lust of deceit, right? You know, I'll see them on ads, you know, that, I like that, you know what I mean, right? Okay, and then this is the good one. You deserve it. That's called the lust of deceit, right? You deserve it, you know. And the older you get, the worse that temptation comes, right, you know. This is how the devil works to destroy, because we still operate under the way that this world is. And so, you know, money, okay, we pay a light bill, right? Okay, we pay taxes. We pay ridiculous for insurance for this facility right here, right? Ridiculous, right? You know, so, you know, if you got bills at home, then you know that we got bills at church, don't you? Right? Okay. Right? Kathy, you don't go in the back room and find manna from heaven down on the floor. Okay. All right, then. You know, so you understand that God moves in this way, and he blesses his people, he blesses his church, and he's called us into the character and the nature of Jesus, which is a giver. All right, now, and let me give you this. I'm going to read this scripture. I haven't forgot. All right, you know, let me give these things. You know, the theme of being a giver, and that's what this is about. This is what you want to be as a giver. Number one is give your heart. That's a starting place. Give your heart to Jesus. Number two is give him your faith. You know, you have to give him faith. You have to give him faith. All right, that's a requirement for the blessings of the Lord. Number three is that you give him your trust. That's where you let go of control. Are you with me? You let go of control. You let him take control. He'll bring the blessings. He'll bring them his way, and he'll bring them with his timing. All right? And then here's number four is give him your life. That means all of you, right? All of you. All of you. And then here's number five goes with it, is give him your everything, okay? There's nothing that you hold back, you know? I mean, my heart's his, my bank account's mine. No, because your bank account's got your heart. Be obedient. You've heard it before, you can't outgive God. He'll make you rich. That's the promise of God. It may not all be in George Washington's, but he'll make you rich. And you will proclaim that you're rich. Because there's things in life that money can't buy. Just go ask the rich. Now, so that you understand that God has value in these things, here is Luke chapter 21, verse 1. And it says, and look at this, and he looked up, and he saw the rich putting their gifts in the treasury. Now, you understand where Jesus is at. He's in the temple. It's where he's at, right? And it's a busy place, and there's people that are coming and going. You know, you ever been a people watcher, right? You know, I mean, wherever you're at and watching people and everything, that's what Jesus is doing at that point in time. And he's in there, and he's kind of observing, and he's watching people as they come and as they go. And, you know, and he was noticing the rich were putting their gifts into the treasury. That got his attention. He began to watch the money or the gifts that were being brought into the treasury. Verse 2 says, and he saw a certain woman, a certain poor widow, putting in two small copper coins. All right, so you know, here's Jesus watching the rich, and here they're coming, and they're putting in their gifts. He's observing that, and then here's this poor little lady comes by, and boy, it catches his eye. So, number one deduction is that we can get out of that is that we understand that the Lord observes our giving. He observes our giving. He knows what kind of giver we are. He knows what kind of giver we are. We want to be a trustworthy giver and servant of God. Now, I'm not saying these things to drum up money, okay? But I'm taking opportunity to kind of teach a little bit on a subject that needs to be taught and known by the church and the people of God. Because I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of Christians that's the last place they become obedient, or they close off in their mind that they're not going to ever become obedient. They won't say it like that. And they're hindering their blessings. They're hindering their blessings. You need to understand that. Then it goes on, and she put in what she put in, two small copper coins. You know, so the rich were giving a lot more money, right? than what she was giving. But this is what the Lord Jesus had to say about it in verse 3. And he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them." Oh my goodness. So the measure of giving is based upon, number one, and Paul addressed it, it's based upon what a man has, not what he doesn't have, right? And on what a man has, not what he doesn't have. And then number two is the true measurement of the giving is the heart and not the amount of the money. It's the heart and not the amount of the money. Then Jesus goes on and says something about that. This is what he says in verse 4. "For they all, out of their surplus, put into the offering. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on." That had greater blessing in Jesus than even the large amounts that the rich were giving, because the heart was not involved with the rich. They were giving their surplus. They were not giving from the heart. I mean, I have a feeling that this was a lady of faith, don't you? You know, I have a feeling this was a lady that loved the Lord. Now, I'm not saying to you that, okay, now everybody, you got to give everything you got, you know, because she gave all. That's what she did. That's what she did. I will tell you this much, though, and a lot of people have never really learned this, but you know, where you begin to give by faith, and when you begin to give by faith, you say, "Lord, how much do you want, like our project? Let's give that as an example. Lord, this is a worthy cause. Lord, how much do you want me to give?" That's a way. How much you pray about? How much, Lord, do you want to give? Versus those that don't even consider it. Okay, right? "I don't have any money." She didn't have any money either. Don't you buy in the devil's lie. Oh, it's the ones that got money that keep up the church. Oh, we'll let the ones that got the money do the ones that be the giving. That's the world's mentality. And you're getting cheated out of your blessings. You are getting cheated. The evil one with that thinking and that mentality is cheating you out of your blessings. Because when you really have a heart for something, you will find a way to get it. Won't you? I know you will. As all do. All right? So it's a heart condition, first of all, not a bank account condition. You know, and that's very important for us to understand. Now, let me go on with that. You know, so Lord, you pray and you open up your heart. You know, you got, versus there are those that never open their, "I don't make any money, so I don't even open up my heart to giving anything because I can't afford to do that." You're thinking wrong. Your thinking is wrong. Number two is that you come before the Lord and you say, "Lord," you tell the Lord, "this is how much I want to give." Oh, that's a faith action. Whoa, that's what I want to give. And then you begin to pray and you begin to ask God and you begin to believe God for the finances that you don't have to meet that amount to be given to you so that you can give that amount. And my goodness, what a testimony of faith and trust and victory that becomes in the life of the believer. I'll tell you what it'll do. It opens up your heart to believe God for more. That's what happens with that. And you know, I'm going to be honest with you. There's really not that many Christians who really do that. You know, "Lord, you know, I got it on my heart. I want to give that. It's not too feasible, is it? That's really out of my range right there." And I'm not talking about being foolish, okay? Nobody's talking about being foolish. All right. And you say, "Lord, I bless me. I'm going to believe you that you're going to give me that amount." I set that forth to maybe give you some thoughts that maybe you have not had. I don't know. There's other things the scriptures talk about. You know, I'll give you, just listen. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 14, he talks about, you know, learning to meet pressing needs. Oh, did you hear that? You know, Paul says that our people needs to learn how to meet pressing needs. Oh, you mean you learn to do that type of thing, and then it becomes a developed practice in your life, and then God, and you know what he goes on and says that verse? You know what he goes on and says? So that we may not be unfruitful. Woo! That we may not be unfruitful. Okay? Now, so you can see very well that God uses these things. Let me give you another example. This is in Hebrews 13, 16. And then we love, okay, and I do, we love Philippians 4, 19. Let me read it. And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Pletos, that's the word riches. P-L-O-U-T-O-S. Pletos, and it means the wealth of God. All right? The wealth of God. And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. You know, so these are things to be believed upon. Kingdom finances. Kingdom finances versus the sweat of your brow. And I'm not saying you don't work. I work hard, okay? I work hard. I know you work hard. But there's more to the blessings of God than just being produced by my hard work. There's the hand of favor that God extends to you, and he takes and blesses it in ways that otherwise it would never be blessed. You know, so we let God. So that's what it means, the wealth of God. But do you know that it says in Philippians 4:18, it talks about sacrificial giving. So there in the temple, we have that example. We have the one. And they gave out of their surplus. They gave out of their surplus. It didn't sound to me like Jesus was too impressed. Did it you? It just didn't sound like he was very impressed, right? And then there was this poor widow, and then she gave 2 copper coins, and she gave all that she had. And it sounded like Jesus was impressed to me, right? It got his attention, did it not? You know, why? Because it didn't have anything to do with the money. It had to do with the heart. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, you know this scripture. And this scripture it right here is in 3 John 2. And I've read this many times. Just listen. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper. Now listen. And be in good health. Just as your soul prospers. I've read that many times, and I know that you hear many that read that, and when they read it many times in the church today, that's called a dollar bill. You know, prosper means a dollar bill. Now, I don't want to diminish from it so much that you don't understand that he will bless your finances. Do you need blessings in your finances? Then ask God to bless you in your finances. Hold nothing back from him in your finances, and ask him to bless you in your finances. There's nothing wrong with you praying about your financial needs. If you have need, then you bring it before God and you ask him. But you make him Lord over everything. Make him Lord over your problems. Make him Lord over your blessings. Are you with me? Make him Lord over your problems. Make him Lord over your blessings, over your prosperity. You're the Lord of my prosperity, and you're the Lord of my need. Right? You're the Lord of my need, whether it's money or it's in another way, whatever it would be, okay? Because I hold nothing back. If you hold nothing back from him, he will hold nothing back from you. All right, so this word, prosper, is edo, and that is E-U-O-D-O-O. Accent on that last O, edo. That's the word prosper in the Greek, and it means to have a prosperous journey, to prosper, how about this, or to succeed. God will make you succeed, right? Yeah. And then right here, we go on, and then it says right here, and what is the measurement in all respects? That the word all respects is one Greek word, Pas, P-A-S, and it means all, everything, anything, continually. Don't you like that? Right? Don't you like that? All, everything, anything, continually. And then the Hebrew word for prosperity is Toba, T-O-B-A-H. It means good welfare, it means bounty, and it means favorably. I mean, that's called God putting his hand on you, isn't it? That's God putting his hand on you. Because he wants you to live a supernatural life. Yes, he does. Okay? In the kingdom of God. Because that's where you are. We're strangers and aliens in this life. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Are you with me there? I am not of the world. You know, and he wants you to believe him, and he wants you to possess this kingdom that belongs to you now, because that's where your citizenship is. Let the Lord expound your thinking like never before. Now I want to just pray a couple of things, if I would. I'm going to do this other at a different time. But I'm just going to pray blessings over us. Can I do that? Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I rebuke a spirit of poverty. Right now, I rebuke a spirit of poverty. Poverty be removed in the name of Jesus. Poverty in finances, poverty in heart, poverty in mind, poverty in circumstances, poverty in thinking. I command that a poverty spirit be broken off of the people of God in the holy, mighty name of Jesus. I release to you today, in the name of Jesus, a spirit of restoration. Right now, restoration. I'm going to pray something else. I hope you don't mind. In the mighty name of Jesus, that you bring restoration to our church. Right now, I lift that before you right now, Lord God, that the work of restoration come to us as the people of God at Relevant Faith in the mighty name of Jesus.